Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's call on friendship-based marketing. I'm so excited that you are here. You are definitely in the right place if you are looking to learn how to do marketing and have fun doing it. My name is Natisha Willis, and I am I am a graduate of the Institute for Life Coach Training. I came into coaching specifically by way of leadership development. That's what I was about to say. So before we get started, I definitely want to give you a little bit of information about me, as well as give you some insight into what we're going to discuss tonight. If you are here, then you probably already read the description. But just in case, just want to give you a quick overview of it. So tonight's call is all about friendship-based marketing, how to win clients and have fun doing it. I like to call myself a professional networker. I love networking. Really, I just love connecting with people. And what I have found since finishing the program is that connecting with people and getting clients is not necessarily a fun process for most people, especially coaches. I think particularly because two of the things that we tend to dread the most, selling and networking, is kind of what it takes or what we've been told it takes to get clients. And so in tonight's class, I want to share with you a different way, kind of my own spin on how I have basically created a fun way to market, to not sell, and to not network, at least the standard way that we know or the standard way that we think of those concepts. So I do have an acronym. Hopefully you have your pen and paper out. If not, please go and get it. And I'll give you, so like I said, a brief little introduction to myself. As I said, my name is Natisha Willis. I came into coaching by way of leadership development, which I started out in college. I was taking leadership development courses, got involved in my sorority, was appointed a president of my chapter, so I had a leadership position. As president, I had to lead leadership retreats, so I found myself taking leadership courses, getting involved at the University of Illinois, it was the Leadership Center, and so they had a huge leadership library. I was assigned a coach. As part of that program, I was in the leadership certificate program, so I had a coach. And I found myself being partnered with executive coaches pretty much from all over the world, which was kind of awesome as a 20-year-old to have access to people who were coaching high-level executives. So from there, I went into corporate accounting, actually. Left corporate accounting, went to graduate school for organizational development and leadership, and I was creating for my master's program, I was creating a leadership development program for undergrad. I got into a car accident, had to leave that program, found myself doing academic advising, actually, and at the for-profit university that I worked at as an academic advisor, we had a success coaching department. And I found out, I really kind of found my home in coaching. I was basically talking to students all over the world, and I found that from an academic standpoint, whereas I was supposed to help them throughout their programs, what I found is that I was more so talking to them about their goals and how to reach them. And I loved the particular school that I worked at was primarily dealing with, our student population were primarily low-income students, mostly adults, who wanted to change their lives. And I found that I loved the work that I was doing. And from there, fast forward about 4 or 5 years after starting a massage business and finding that even though I loved doing the massage, what I really loved was finding clients and the innovation and the fast-pacedness, I'm sure that's not a word, but I better use it anyway. But I really loved the game, I called it, of finding all the different ways to get people to get massage and ultimately to pay me for massage. And massage being one of those things that not only was something that was good but could also help relieve stress and help affect other parts of your lives, I saw a lot of parallels between massage therapy and personal development coaching. And so fast forward a few years, and I found myself actually a student here at the Institute for Life Coach Training and taking classes, and I found myself in my with my classmates kind of in the same predicament I was when I was in massage school. I was having no problem getting people to want me to coach them, whereas some of my classmates did. And I started trying to figure out, okay, so what's the difference here? Why is this so much fun for me and not so much fun for other people? And so I came up with this idea that I like to call friendship-based marketing. And it's really this way that we use the relationships that we've already built and the relationship-building skills that we already have as a way to get clients. Now, I know in coaching, and if you were ever trained as a therapist or a counselor or a social worker or really almost any field, that if you've ever been in any of the helping professions, typically we're taught about professional boundaries and how there's this really, you know, strict line between the practitioner and the client. Well, friendship-based marketing basically throws that whole phenomena out the window and says that the way that you get clients, especially as a coach, is basically the same way that you get friends. And one of the first things that we discuss in this friendship-based marketing strategy is really this idea that you lead with your give. And what that means is that you are giving first. Coaching is one of those things that people, before they'll hire you as a coach, they kind of need to experience your coaching. And so leading with your give, which is really about allowing people to experience your coaching, is the way that we do that. So let's get to this acronym. As I mentioned before, it is an acronym. So F-R-I-N-E-I-E-N-D, each one of those stands for something different. So before we get into that, let me make sure. Sometimes I kind of go off and I skip some things. So let's talk about what friendship-based marketing is, okay? It's a way to demonstrate kindness and generosity. Like I said before, lead with your give. It's a way to make a new friend. It's a way to serve your community. It's a way to learn how to serve your tribe better. It's a way to build your brand as well as your business in a positive manner. And most importantly, it's a way to help people. Now, when done correctly, it's also a way to boast and brag about others, right? It's also a way to show up and serve. And those are kind of the most important things that we want to remember and consider, that ultimately when marketing your coaching business, anything related to personal development, ultimately all you're doing is showing up and serving. So around December, this past December, I came up with this concept that I like to call the Freedom Friends. And that's basically what I call coaches and counselors, right? People who help others to achieve freedom in a way that mimics a friendship, right? So Freedom Friends, I kind of created this moniker. And so when I was thinking about this, I thought about how when you're creating these friendships, it's really all about connection, right? So you're connecting with other people. We're people to people. So if you were to think of a pie chart, for example, and the pie chart, the pie had four pieces. In the very middle, the very center, where all of the lines intersect, that is the part where you connect to yourself, right? So we're talking about the five most important people who you need to connect with in order to create friendships. And the first person that you want to connect with is you, your values, the things that are important to you. That's how you connect with yourself will dictate and determine how well you're able to connect with other people. Okay? So if you were to look in the top left quadrant, the next group of people that you would connect to are potentially our potential clients. On to the right are members of your network. So these are people who you can collaborate with. Bottom right, these are your support people. So your own, as a coach, your own coaches, your own therapists, people who directly support you. And last but not least, in the bottom left-hand quadrant, your partners, so people who you potentially work with or hire. So maybe your graphic designers, virtual assistants. I'm really big on hiring virtual assistants, by the way. So these are all of the people who you would connect with. So yourself, clients, members of your network, your support team, and your partners. As we go along on our day-to-day duties, typically we are connecting with people. And I like to think that most of the people that we connect with will fit into one of these quadrants. They're either potential clients, members of your network, people who are going to be on your support team, or partners, people who are going to partner with you to accomplish your goals and grow your business. I like to tell people that when you look at this, it's a great way to think of people. Think of the people that you meet in terms of 3 out of 4 people that you meet are not potential clients. So what that does for me, and hopefully it does for you, is kind of take away some of the stress and anxiety that happens sometimes when we think that every person we meet is a potential client. This allows you, looking at them in this type of diagram or framework, allows you to think of people in such a way that maybe they're not potential clients, right? But maybe they are, maybe they'll fit into one of these other categories, and that kind of frees you to ask more questions and get to know them and really just release yourself from the stress that comes when we think of everyone as a potential client and, oh, I can't overstep my boundaries and I can't ask certain questions because, oh, they're a client or they're a client to be, so I need to make sure I'm on my quote-unquote best behavior. In friendship-based marketing, I treat everyone like a friend. Someone I want to get to know, someone who I want to go to dinner with, someone I want to hang out with. And as a result, by treating almost everyone like a friend or a potential friend, what that allows me to do is really just break down the barriers that people typically have when they notice or when they know that they're talking to someone who has something to sell. It immediately helps them to cut down their guard or put their guard down because they recognize that, oh, she's not going to try to sell me anything. She's not going to try to enroll me in her program. So hopefully that works for you too. So my perspective on marketing is that ultimately, if you look at yourself as a member of a community and the community as a way for you to practice your coaching, this is the best way to build friendships. So, for example, I typically say I call it my networking flow, which really means if you think of, and I have a diagram here that you can't see, but I'm going to describe it. So if you think of yourself, let's just say we have 2 circles, right, one on the left and one on the right, and you have an arrow drawing from the left to the right. You are on the left, and your community is on the right. This is how I personally do networking and marketing. I think of myself as going into my community to serve my community. And that word community can mean any number of things. It can mean a Facebook group. It can mean a dance class. It can mean my university where I work during the day. It can mean where I volunteer. Any group or community that you are a part of, your ability to quote-unquote network or market is really based on the community that you are a member of. Now, typically what happens in a networking event or a networking attempt, we're not necessarily a part of a community. We don't think of our communities as places for us to network or market, quote-unquote, our services. Well, I think those are the perfect places. Why? Because you already have a relationship there. People already know you. They're already familiar with you. And ultimately, you want to get practice in your public speaking and your ability to deliver, and you want people to get comfortable with you. Coaching is one of those things that the more comfortable people are with you, the easier it becomes for you to get clients. And so if you, again, going back to those circles, if you're on the left and your community is on the right and you are going to your community and serving, you may offer a 3 or 4 week series on a particular coaching topic, but going into your community and serving, what you will find after a period of time is that members of the community will now begin to come to you because they view you as an expert. They view you as a member of the community who isn't just simply trying to sell, but a member of the community who is attempting to serve. So that's the big ta-da when it comes to friendship-based marketing, right? You want to position yourself as a friend, as a member of the community. So let's go ahead and get to these acronyms. So I'm going to basically break down what each letter of the word friend represents. And we're going to talk about it in theory, and then we're going to go back and talk about it in practice. And by practice, I mean what I actually do. And then we'll give you time to ask questions. So first, the F stands for two things, actually. Number one is fun, and number two is finding you. Okay, so fun and finding you. Now, when you are marketing, quote, unquote, your services, which is really you're just positioning yourself as a friend. When you're out there making friends, you want to make sure that wherever you go, it's a place where you're having fun. And the reason that you want to make sure it's a place where you're having fun is because if you're having a good time, if you're having fun, then you're more likely to do it frequently. And in order for us to get clients, the way that we have to make sure that we get clients is by going to a place and showing up frequently. We want people to continue to see us. And if it's not a place where we have fun, then it won't have as much of an effect because people need to see us. People need to think of us as part of the community. And if we're not having a good time, then we won't go there again, which tends to happen with networking events because we typically only see people 1 or 2 times max and we never see them again. In coaching, the relationship is so super-duper important. People will grow to trust you and grow to trust your expertise and grow to trust your ability to support them on their journey when they trust that you are frequently showing up in some of the places that they have a good time. Well, the places where they frequent, right? And so some of the places that I have found are the best places to have a good time and make sure that people are finding you are basically 4 things. Places where you're sweating, so like dance classes or martial arts or exercise. Places where you're learning, so personal development workshops, educational seminars, any of those things. Places where you're eating and places where you're volunteering. So sweating, learning, eating, and volunteering. Those, in my experience, have been the absolute best places to make sure that I'm having fun and to make sure that I'm meeting people who would be interested in my services. Okay, so these are the places where I have fun, and these are typically the places where I tend to get clients from because I go there a lot because I have a great time. So one of the most important things that you want to make sure you do is because you're going to a place where you have fun, actually collect people's contact information, who you connect with. Now, what tends to happen with new coaches is most of us are introverts. Believe it or not, I am too. What happens, we tend to go to events and we try to get everyone's contact information, and then when we don't, we beat ourselves up, and then we don't remember people, and then we don't reach out. So don't do that. What you actually want to do is make it a point to connect with one person at any event that you attend and get in touch with that one person, okay? Stay in touch with that one person. If at max, maybe 2 or 3, but frequently we are only going to connect with 1 or 2 people at any one situation. That's why it's important to continue to go back because you can continue to connect with more people, even if it's a monthly event. But, yeah, definitely you want to make sure that you're collecting the contact information. Stay in touch with people. You can do email addresses. What I tend to do, I like adding people to my friends list on Facebook because I'm always on Facebook, and it's a lot easier, and I don't like mass emails, so that's just me. So the R represents renewing the relationship. So in other words, stay in touch. Most sales seminars will tell you that it takes between 5 and 7 times for someone to see you before they actually purchase your services. 5 to 7 times. So hopefully what that does is release any stress and anxiety you may have of I'm going to meet someone and this one conversation is going to determine my sale, because it doesn't work that way. If you've been attempting to sell people anything for any sell coaching for any period of time, you've probably found this out on your own. In addition, what I have found myself is that when I try to sell people coaching after 1 or 2 conversations, I feel uncomfortable. And it has nothing to do with my level of expertise in selling, but it has everything to do with how well do I really know this person. I don't feel comfortable trying to convince people that what I have to offer is what they want. That's just not my cup of tea, as they say. What I have found works well for me is as I get to know people, and as people get to know me, I don't have to sell anything. They come to me and automatically ask, hey, how can I get involved in your program? How can I hire you? What do I need to do? Right? And so I tend to find myself in conversations where I don't have to sell anything. People are coming to me. And it's because I'm renewing the relationship. I'm staying in touch. And there's tons of different ways that you can stay in touch, right? You can keep a blog. You can do a vlog with a V. That's the videos. Because I put everybody on my friends list on Facebook for the most part, and I make sure that I send them a message, they're constantly seeing my posts about my family, about funny things that I found, about inspirational quotes that I read, right? So they're constantly seeing my stuff. So I'm staying top of mind without really doing anything extra. You want to make sure that you're doing something similar. So if if you're a Facebook person, then add them on Facebook. If you're an Instagram person, add them on Instagram. If you're an email person, add them to your email list. If you're a phone person, reach out and have a conversation once a month, right? But whatever, the most important piece that you do is you do what works for you, okay? I represents for invite and inform. So based on your intuition, you always want to have, you basically, number one, you want, of course, you want to make sure that you're connecting with people. But if you feel like a genuine connection, right, we have something in common that's more than just surface level stuff, like we really connected, you want to invite people to something. I read a book, I think it was called Book Yourself Silent by Michael Port. The illustrated version, if you're ever looking for a resource, that's a great one. Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port, P-O-R-T. In his book, he recommends that you always have something to invite people to. And one of the things that he was referring to was something like a monthly teleseminar or a monthly telephone call, right? What I have a podcast, and so that's one of the things that I'll talk about as well, is you always want to make sure that you have something to invite people to and invite people to experience you, right? And I say in here that you want to follow your intuition because it's up to you to kind of feel out kind of what the person is doing and who they are. You don't necessarily – you want to make sure that it's not just a, hey, here's my thing. You're not – kind of like how people do business cards sometimes. You know, we meet someone, before we connect, they just hand you their business card, and it's a little bit awkward. When you are making friends, You want to make sure that you're listening to your intuition and really just following, listening for social cues. And a lot of us are socially awkward. I know I was at one point. But the more you do it, as you build more relationships and as you practice, you'll basically figure out the dance, right? This whole thing about building relationships and building friendships, especially as an adult, it's really just like dancing. And some of us have two left feet, and that's totally okay. But what you want to do is make sure that you continue going to class, right? And that just means you continue practicing and you continue building those relationships. And you, that's why it's also you want to make sure you're having fun, because if you're in a place where you're having fun, you're more likely as the coach to let your guard down as well and laugh at yourself if you do things wrong. So you want to make sure all of this works together. You want to make sure that you're in places where it's okay and you're free to be yourself, whatever that self is. I have one of my coach friends, she loves Comic-Con? Yes, the comic conventions. So she goes to those and she makes friends, and, you know, it's a lot of different people there. But she's able to get clients from there simply because she's able to connect with people. And, you know, that client relationship, they call it a sales cycle, which I don't really like that word, but whatever. It takes, you know, like I said, 5 to 7 connections. So if you're able to connect with someone on a regular basis and you're able to see them multiple times, eventually you're going to have a conversation about what is it that you do? Oh, how do you do that? And get into a conversation about your coaching. So moving on to the E. The E in friend represents educate. You want to educate your potential client, your audience, basically, with the offer or with what I like to call your special sauce. This is, or your sparkle, right? These are the things that are special about you, the things that make you different. And oftentimes the way that we can educate people, and this is when you're this in particular, this is about when you're inviting, you're always having something to invite people to. You can do these with webinars or teleconferences. If you're in the online space at all, you can do challenges, online challenges. But all of these are ways that you are allowing your audience to get to know you. Okay? N represents stands for showing how you address and meet their needs. As I explained before, coaching is one of those things that really requires experiencing. This is how you get away from selling. And I think I said that before, that we talk about a way that you no longer have to sell, is that you allow people to experience what it feels like to coach with you. If you have not taken the group coaching class, I think that's a huge, huge, huge class for you to take. You definitely want to take that one. The book that we use in that course is called A Comprehensive Blueprint to Group Coaching, or at least that was the book that we used when I took it. And so that is a great, great, great book. That's by Ginger Cockerham. And it basically shows you how to utilize group coaching. I like to call group coaching similar to workshops, but basically walking people through a coaching process in a group setting, because remember we talked about going into your community and serving your community. What that allows you to do when you are showing people that you're meeting their needs in a group setting, that allows you to leverage your time. So, for example, you can host a workshop for 20 people and have 20 people attend and basically walk people through a 4 or 5 step process on confidence or fear or any type of coaching exercise. Where in a 90 minutes time, you're able to talk to 20 people at once, 10 to 20 people at once. Whereas if you were to try to talk to each person one on one, that would take you, I don't know, 90 times 10, so 900 minutes, right? Which is 10 hours or something insane. But no, that's way more than 10 hours. But probably 15, hitting on 15 hours. So you want to leverage your time, right? And going into communities, your communities, is one way that you can do that and show people that you're meeting their needs in a non-threatening environment. As coaches, sometimes we don't think that one-on-one is threatening, but it can be, especially if I'm not yet in a place, if I don't really understand coaching, if I don't know if it's something that I actually want, Whereas in a group setting, it's almost easier for everyone, for the participants as well as the coach. The participants will tend to help one another, taking some of the work off of you, the coach. And from a coaching perspective, you get that help from other people explaining different concepts from their point of view. So again, group coaching, a comprehensive blueprint to group coaching is a great book, and it helps you to show people in a group setting how you are meeting their needs. So that's the N. D is meet their demand by being ready to accept payment. So now that after you've been found a place where you're having fun, you are making sure that you are renewing the relationship, right, by going over and over and over again to these places where you're having fun, inviting people to something free, educating them when they attend your free thing, and meeting their needs when they showing how you meet their needs in that place. Now is basically how you meet their demand by being ready to accept payment. Some of my favorite places or favorite ways to accept payment are PayPal. So you can open a PayPal.me, which allows you can basically put a PayPal.me/your name. So if you want to, so people can send you money like that, or you can set up a Moon Clerk account, which is also another one of my favorite ways because you can do recurring payment. I do a lot of my coaching on the recurring payment model, which basically means that my coaching programs are anywhere from $50 to $200 a month, right? And with Moon Clerk, you just send people a link. And it will hit their account. It'll automatically come out, deduct the person's credit or debit card without you having to do any additional work. So it makes it super duper easy. You just send it that one time, set up the link, send it that one time, and you'll continue to get paid. So that's the theory, right? The theory behind friendship-based marketing: fun, renew the relationship, invite and inform, educate, meet their needs, and meet their demand. Now, for me, like I mentioned, I'm going to basically show you how I put this into practice for myself. So for me, like I said, I love to connect with people. I love, even though I'm more of an ambivert, right? So if I'm around people too much, I tend to get exhausted and overwhelmed, and I need me time, alone time. And if I spend too much time by myself, then I get stuck in my head, and I need to talk to other people, right? But for me, talking to other people is fun. Facebook is fun. So what I've done is basically built my entire marketing model on podcasting, as I mentioned. And podcasting is really just a conversation. It's a way for me to have conversations with people one-on-one. I came up with this. I don't even know where I came up with this, but what I do know is that because of Facebook, I've been able to reach out to people who I definitely would not have met in any other manner. To date, I've scheduled close to 100 interviews myself, and then about 50 or 60 for some of my network members. And what I do is I literally just have conversations with people. As I mentioned before, you always want to lead with your give, right? So have something of value to offer. And so I personally, I have two audiences. I have the coaches I have the people who I'm looking to add to my own personal network, because remember we had that pie chart where you have some people who you can collaborate with and some people who are potential clients. And then I have people who are clients, right? And so on my podcast, what I've done is I've interviewed different coaches. And talking to coaches, for me, is fun. So asking them about how they got into coaching, what makes them stay in coaching, what kind of practice they have, all of these things, it's fun for me. And so creating a podcast, quote unquote, which is really just recording a conversation that I'm having, it has been fun. Now, what I do is, I reach out. I may read an article. I may see someone doing some great work, and I reach out to them and ask them, can I interview them on my podcast? And 9 times out of 10, they always say yes. Now, I do work with a virtual assistant which I mentioned earlier. She's in the Philippines, and it's great. I pay her $5 an hour, which is a lot of money in the Philippines, and she helps me to make sure that my podcast episodes are edited and uploaded to both my website as well as my there's a hosting called Libsyn, and so we will be having it on iTunes at the end of next month as well. So she helps me to make sure that all of that is done. She emails all of my guests before we do the interviews, as well as after the interviews, to make sure everything is posted. And she helps me to get everything on the website as well as on my Facebook business page. And as I mentioned, the R represents for renewing the relationship, right? So pretty much about 3 or 4 times a week, because I'm on Facebook already and I'm sharing things already, I'm able to continue sharing or letting people know, hey, here's this week's or today's, my most recent podcast interview. And so because, as I mentioned, I use Facebook almost as my Rolodex, the people who I'm connecting with, they get to see, they get to receive the value of the podcast interview. So the I represents for always having something to invite people to, right? So I always invite people to listen because they, 9 times out of 10, will meet someone they would have never met before, as well as the E, educating them on my particular special sauce, which is networking and building connections. So on the podcast interviews, I'm showcasing that. Now, depending on what your special sauce is, you may showcase something different. One of my network members is a therapist and a coach. So she, her special sauce is working with women leaders. So her podcast, I think it's called The Leadership Lounge, and so she interviews women in leadership positions and counseling, and they have conversations. Another one of my network members is a branding expert and graphic designer. So her podcast is called Blazing Branding, right? And so she talks to consultants and different people who are doing great things with their brand. So it just goes to show you, you can literally have conversations about anything, especially if it's something that you're passionate about and you actually enjoy. And as a result, you can build connections with people and really expand your own network one person at a time, as well as serve your audience by sharing things. The N, like I said, represents the need. So the people I'm interviewing, they usually meet a need of my audience with their service or their product, or simply by providing inspiration or motivation. My latest podcast was with an entrepreneur who's made, I don't know, something like $4 million. And one of the reasons that I interviewed him was because I liked what he was talking about. But he kind of put some things in perspective for my audience because he spoke about his virtual assistant that I think he was paying like $1,500 a month. So when I tell my audience about my $5 an hour virtual assistant, they kind of get an idea of what the differences are. Now, of course, D represents for stands for meet the demand, and I have had quite a few contracts actually come as a result of everything that I've been sharing with you. And, of course, I use MoonClerk to walk them through paying me. So really quickly, I just want to go back through. Let's see. Oh, no, I think I just closed my. I did. I just closed my the wrong tab. So I'm going to stop there. And let's see if you have any questions. Well, it's work on getting this other tab open. Oh, there it is. So the tools that I use for the podcast, right, I personally set appointments on my calendar. I use Calendly, and that's like Calendly, so like Calend, like calendar, but L-Y. I use Zoom to record the calls. You can use Zoom, free conference call, or Blog Talk Radio. Any of those are good. I then, once I finish the interviews, I upload them to Dropbox. You can also use Google Drive, which is basically just a place to hold your files. And then my virtual assistant creates the graphics and makes sure that everything is posted. And then she listens to the interviews and types up show notes, uploads everything to my, I use Libsyn. So we're transferring late soon to Blueberry, I think is the name of the new account, but it's a hosting place for the actual podcasting. And then you want to make sure you have questions to ask your interviewees. So you need a way to set the appointment, a way to record the phone calls, a place to hold the information until your virtual assistant, hopefully you'll hire one, can access it, and then they'll upload it to your Libsyn account, and you need interview questions. So it's really easy. If you look up the word podcast, it seems like this whole drawn-out thing, but if you just think of it as I'm having a conversation and I'm recording it, it makes it a lot easier in your head. So that is my perspective on friendship-based marketing and how you can no longer have to sell, which, in my opinion, my idea of selling is convincing someone of your value. So the alternative is allowing people to experience your value up front. So then they sell themselves. You don't have to sell them. They've already experienced it. And then the other way you no longer have to network is my idea of networking is not really, it's not fun, a lot of small talk, trying to get to know people, but not really. And so the alternative is talk to people you enjoy and interview them on your podcast. So that's friendship-based marketing. Hopefully that's been helpful for you. Amy, can we open the line for any questions? So I think you should be able to talk. Or is it pound six?
Hey, Natasha, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. If anyone has a question, they could press star six. We do have someone in the queue, so I will just go ahead, make them active. Okay.
Hi.
Oops.
Hi, I just wanted to know if there's a place that I could go to reference everything that you just said.
A place to reference? Like my notes?
Yeah, kind of like on your notes, because there were some things I was trying to write down, and then I missed some of what you said after that.
Natasha, if I can interject for a second, this is Amy again with ILCT, and we always post the recordings of these calls, so the call will be posted to our website, and if you signed up for the call, you'll get a notification when that's been posted, and then if Natasha has any documents or anything that she wants me to include in that post, I can, but the audio will be available in case you want to go back and listen later.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Was there a particular question? Maybe I can go back and look in there for you. Okay, maybe not. Did anyone else have any questions that I could answer? Star six, if so.
Hi, this is Carla. Can you hear me?
Hi, Carla. Yes, I can.
Thank you for your generous sharing of all the information. And I wanted to know if we want to join your Facebook and be in your mailing list moving after this call, how could we do that?
You can actually go to my website, natishawillis.com, and there's two places where you can sign up. When you go to the website, there's a free meditation that's right at the top of the site, so you can get that. And then if you go and kind of look around a little bit under the podcast, there's a way to stay in touch on the podcasting as well.
Okay, can you spell your name just so I make
sure? Sure. N like Nancy, A, T like Tom, I, S like Sam, H like Harry, A, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S like Sam.
Okay, just want to make sure I had it right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Did anyone else have any questions? I would love to answer them.
This is Carla. Can I ask another one?
Absolutely.
So how did you find your virtual assistant in the Philippines?
Networking. Like I said, networking is kind of my thing. I really just meet people. Like, I just talk to people and find out, what are you doing? Like, how are you doing it? I especially reach out to people who are doing what I would like to be doing. So my particular virtual assistant I met that way, but she was listed. She did have a listing on Upwork. She no longer does, but I know that other people have used Upwork. That's upwork.com. It's a site for freelancers as well as online jobs. .ph, which is specifically for those in the Philippines.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty. Well, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Everyone's being shy tonight.
Okay. No biggie. I mean, it's kind of late.
It is.
Maybe they'll have questions tomorrow, which is fine.
And well, Tisha, you've mentioned, I'm sorry to interrupt, you've mentioned on other calls that you welcome people to contact you.
Oh, yeah, sure. You can email me at natishawillis@gmail.com. Just make sure you put in the subject. Actually, it might get lost. It would be better if you contact me from my website. There's a contact form. If you go to natishawillis.com, if you have a question, you can definitely email me, and I'll get that a lot seamlessly than emailing me directly.
Super.
But yeah. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been great. Thank you, Amy, again for facilitating.
Sure. Thanks everyone for joining, and thank you, Natisha, for your time.
Yeah,
and we will see you next month.
All right. You sound good.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.